Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
Now, President Volodymyr Zelensky has welcomed the decision by Germany to supply Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine following weeks of debate and international pressure on the issue. The German Chancellor Olaf Scholz said today that Germany will deliver 14 tanks to Ukraine and allow partner countries to re-export them as well. It's expected that up to 100 tanks could be transported to Ukraine in the next few weeks or so. In a few minutes, I'll be speaking to Emeritus Professor of History at UCC, Jeffrey Roberts. But first, I'm joined on the line by Ukrainian MP with the Golos Party, Ina Sovsun. Ms. Sovsun, you're very welcome to the programme. What is your reaction to this decision by Germany? Finally, some say.
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me. Regarding the tanks, I'm overly excited. I actually cried last night when I read the news. First, I got messages from my fellow members of parliament from Bundestag unofficially. Then it was basically confirmed in the media. I literally cried because I checked my own Twitter account and I read that the first time I mentioned Leopards and that Germany has them and they can provide them to Ukraine was in June. So half a year ago, that is when Ukraine started asking for those tanks unofficially. But then, of course, with the pressure growing and with Ukrainian army proving that they're skillful enough to use the more technological weapons like those tanks, after all, Germany did take this decision. So we are extremely excited. We understand that it will still take a while for our soldiers to learn how to operate them. But that is definitely a breakthrough for us, which allows us to plan the campaigns on liberating the territories which are occupied now.
What difference do you think the tanks will make?
Well, tanks are extremely important for a close combat. And that is what the situation is right now in the areas around Bakhmut. But then also tanks are very much needed for counteroffensive. And that is exactly what we need to liberate our territories. Because right now, the sad truth is that Ukrainian army is losing sometimes up to 100 people every single day. And one of the reasons is that they are not very well protected, because we don't have not only tanks, but even like proper armored personnel vehicles or infantry fighting vehicles, which would be protecting people from drone attacks and from some sort of other attacks. Our soldiers on the front line are often driving in just pickup cars and jeeps. And of course, that is not safe. And we want to save their lives and to make sure that we can plan the campaign with liberation of the territories. So tanks are extremely important for that.
Do you understand, or how do you react to Germany's delay or reticence in deciding to send the tanks?
I've been debating that issue and talking about that with the German MPs for, again, as I said, over half a year now. And I've heard very different arguments. The two most important, I think, arguments inside the German political discourse were those. One, they were saying, we don't want to be the first to provide the modern Western combat tanks to Ukraine, because that will make Germany the target. We want that to be a joint decision, or we want preferably some other country to provide those tanks first, and then we will follow up. And the second argument, which can sound strange, but trust me, I heard it so many times for half a year that I was talking to the Germans, was that because of history, because it's painful for Germans to imagine German tank fighting against Russian tank on the fields of Ukraine because of the memories of the World War II. So that took a while of explaining the historical context over here, because, yeah, of course, there was the war between Germany and other countries, the USSR. But USSR was not just Russians. Actually, German Nazi regime killed more Ukrainians than Russians. And as strange as it can sound now in the 21st century, that was part of the explaining that we had to employ to explain to when talking to Germans now.
So that is a back channel diplomatic political work that has gone into explaining and lobbying Germany for these tanks, and now this decision today. What about the question that some analysts have put forward, that there's a danger that, and a risk that this draws Europe as a region and the West in general into this war, or closer to having boots on the ground, so to speak, as active combatants along with Ukraine?
Well, the truth is that not once did Ukraine ask for boots on the ground from any other country. We never did that. We were always saying we are willing to protect ourselves. Do we welcome volunteers from other countries? Yes, we do, be it from Poland, UK, Ireland, France, United States, Australia, Taiwan. That is where people come to serve in our Foreign Legion. But we never asked for boots on the ground.
You just simply asked for tanks. Can I give you some breaking news as well? I don't know if you've heard this, Ina Sufson, but in the last few minutes, it seems US President Joe Biden has announced that America will send 31 Abrams tanks to Ukraine. What is your reaction to that?
Well, that falls in line with this argument that the Germans were putting forward, that we don't want to be the first to provide it. So apparently there was a deal between the Germans and the Americans that the Americans will provide Abrams tanks and Germans will join in and provide Leopard tanks. So that is a good decision. The more tanks, the better, particularly because those tanks are much more advanced. So we will never, let's be realistic about that, we will never have as many tanks as Russia has, because NATO countries simply don't have as many tanks as Russia has.
But the Abrams tanks, as far as I understand, they're a far more sophisticated machine. They use jet fuel, isn't that right?
Yes, exactly. They are much more sophisticated. And the reason why we're lobbying specifically for Leopards, because Leopards are much better fit for Ukraine, because indeed they use much less fuel. They don't run on jet fuel like Abramses do. And that is why Leopards are truly better fit for Ukraine. And also logistics, right? Because we can set up shop for repairing them in Poland, and Germans can come and fix them in Poland. But with the United States, that's much more complicated. Also, it adds complexity to training our personnel, because of course it's easier to train them to use one type of tank, not three or four that we will be having now, because now we are getting Leopards, we're getting Abramses. The UK said that they will send some Challengers, and then of course we do have some Soviet style tanks.
Well, it
so
seems
that complicates that, matter. Yeah.
It seems that it enhances certainly the defence equipment that Ukraine has, and those Abrams tanks, as I say, on the way to Ukraine from the US now, just announced in the last few minutes. Look, we'll leave it there for the moment. Ina Sufson, Ukraine MP, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. With me as well, as I say, is Professor Geoffrey Roberts, and he is Emeritus Professor of History at UCC and a member of the Royal Irish Academy. Geoffrey Roberts, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good evening.
Can I get your reaction to the news just breaking there, and also the German announcement of tanks to Ukraine?
Well, I think we need to sort of step back a little bit from that immediate news story and to think what's going on here. The Ukrainians are very, very happy with these Western decisions. And the reason they're very, very happy with Western decisions is because they're desperate, yeah? What's happening on the battlefront is that the war is turning against Ukraine. The Russians are gaining more territory. The Russians are digging in their defense. Their armed forces are expanding. And the thing is this, is that, you know, since the war has begun, the Russians have already destroyed thousands of Ukrainian tanks and armored cars. You know, Ukraine is running out of equipment very, very rapidly. As the Ukrainian MP herself said, you know, Ukrainians go around in pickup trucks. Their infantry is transported in pickup. So the Ukrainians are really desperate for these Western supplies. And it's understandable why they would be so happy.
Is it the correct decision by Germany and the US, in your opinion, to send those tanks if they are desperate to defend their country?
The thing is, the question you need to ask is it going to make any fundamental difference to the strategic situation in Ukraine? And the answer to that question, I fear, is no. The difference it's going to make is it's going to prolong the war. And the longer the war goes on, the more people that Ukraine is going to lose, the more damages it's going to suffer, the worse it is when we get to some kind of ceasefire.
Sorry, what is the alternative then? What is the alternative? And surely prolonging the war means prolonging the defence of the sovereign country that has been attacked in an unprovoked fashion, and that's a good thing.
Well, what... the West is prolonging the war not by supplying scrip, not just for Ukraine's sake, but for its own sake as well. You know, it's prolonging its proxy war with Russia. The aim being
Hang on a second. What do you mean it's proxy war with Russia? It is Russia that started the war, unprovoked.
Absolutely. And the West has involved itself to such an extent in the war that it's reasonable and legitimate to call it a proxy war. So
Isn't it reasonable, Professor, for Ukraine, having been attacked in an unprovoked fashion,
yeah,
its sovereignty attacked, its territory attacked, isn't it reasonable for them to defend themselves with whatever weaponry they can get their hands on? And
sure,
isn't it also reasonable for the West to supply them with weapons in that situation?
Absolutely, it's reasonable for them to do that. But both the Ukrainians and the West need to be realistic about where this is heading. And at the moment, where this is heading is for Ukrainians' military defeat.
Says who?
And a much worse outcome than might be possible.
When you make a judgment like that, you have to back it up. So what is the basis of that judgment?
The basis of that judgment is actually what is happening in Ukraine at the moment in terms of the Russian advances, the damage that the Ukrainians are suffering.
But you've been wrong before. You wrote in July that Ukraine had lost a quarter of its territory to Russian occupation,
sure,
including its industrial heartland,
sure,
and most of its Black Sea coast. But Kharkiv was reclaimed by Ukrainians. Kherson was reclaimed. Ukraine successfully reclaimed territories in the Luhansk region from the clutches of Putin as well, using weapons and equipment supplied to it. You were wrong then. You could be wrong again.
Ukraine was able to reclaim those territories, you say, because it put pressure on the Russians to actually withdraw. And reclaiming those territories was very, very expensive for the Ukrainians. And the way the military during the early autumn, the tide of the war turned in Ukraine's favor. Now the tide of the war has turned against Ukraine, right? And the chances are that they could lose these territories that they gained in their autumn.
Let's say you're right this time. What's the outcome? What should be done?
What I think should be done is that the West needs to back away from this strategy of fighting to the last Ukrainian. It needs to adopt a strategy of doing everything it can to help Ukraine to bring this war to an end. To limit the loss of life and to limit the territorial losses, because the longer this war goes on, the worse it is going to be for Ukraine.
That sounds like peace in our time.
It's not about appeasement. It's about being realistic. Yeah, that the Ukrainians had the opportunity to end this war six months ago, and they could have ended it and with quite minimal territorial losses. But they decided to fight on. They decided to fight on because they were under pressure from Western governments to continue with the war. And the result of that has been hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian casualties, more territorial losses, and huge devastation of its infrastructure. And
I cannot understand. I cannot understand how a professor of history, knowing your history as you do, would suggest such a compromise, ceding of territory, given the situation that happened a year ago, an attack on a sovereign country, unprovoked, bombing residential buildings as Russia did in a flagrant contravention of the Geneva Convention, then lying about it, slaughtering civilians as they did in Bucha and Mariupol, and then lying about it to the world.
As a history professor, I can tell you that war is the worst possible human phenomenon. Everything has
to tell Russia to get out then.
Everything has to be done to avoid war, and when wars occur, to bring them to an end. As a history professor, I can tell you that wars end often end badly for one side. And as a history professor, all my knowledge of history tells me this war is going to end very badly for Ukraine. So the sooner this war comes to an end, the sooner the West starts to actually work towards some kind of ceasefire and peace settlement, the better it will be for Ukraine. What I want to see, I want to see Ukraine survive as an independent sovereign state. The policy that's being pursued by the West, this escalation policy, is actually leading in the direction of the complete destruction of Ukraine.
Can I ask you finally, they've been likened to the Nazis, and to use your analogy, it would be like allowing the Nazis claim a little bit of London and southeast England during the Second World War, and to say at least they haven't claimed all of it, the UK.
Russia is not Nazi Germany. Putin is not Hitler. As it happens, the territories that Ukraine will likely lose because of this war, right? Before the war, was mainly inhabited by people who identify Russia, who are pro-Russians.
Well, they've been likened to Nazis by various world leaders and organisations and human rights organisations worldwide.
I'm an expert on Russia, the Soviet Union, Stalin and Hitler, the Second World War, appeasement, and I can tell you, with my authority as a historian, that those world leaders are wrong.
And eminent historians disagree, I know, as well, but we'll leave it there.
Well, Jeffrey, I'm an eminent historian. I'm giving you my point of view.
I understand. Jeffrey Roberts, Emeritus Professor of History at UCC, member of the RIA. Thank you very much indeed.